जमुना तीरवनाचार जया कुंज बिहारी जया जया राधा मधाबा जया कुंज बिहारी जया राधा जया राधा मधाबा जया कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य आज तो तरशत श्रीमाधे से वाइंग्रेसि भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शिष्य माधि सेवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमन भागवतम की इताई गौर प्रेमानंदी ओ ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to Shishi Guru Vanshi Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Summon Bonum, Chapter 21. The Gopis glorify Krishna's flute. Text number 7. Sri Gopi, Sri Gopya Uchuhu. Aksham batam palamidam na param vidama Sakya pasun anubibesha yator vasasyai Vajasyai Bhaktram brajesa sutayor anavenu justam Jairvani pitan anurakta kataksha moksham. Sri Gopya uchuhu. Aksham batam palamidam na param vidama. Sakya pasun anubishvesa yator vajasai. Bhaktram brajesa sutayor anuvenu justam. Yarva nipitan anurakta karakta moksham. Kataksha moksham. Akshavatam palamidam na param vidama. Sakya pasun anubibesha yator vasasyai. Vajasyai. Bhaktram brajesa sutayor anubenu justam. Jairva nipitan anurakta kataksha moksham. Krishchan. Sri Gopiya Uchuhu, the gopis said, Akshavantam Akshambatam, of those who have eyes, Phalam, the fruit, Idam, this, Na, not, Param, other, Vidamaha, we know, Sankhya, all friends, Pashun, the cows, Anubiveshatayoho, causing to enter one forest after another, Vajasyai, with their friends of the same age, Vaktram, the faces, Braja Isha, of Maharaj Nanda, Suttayoho, of the two sons, Anubenu Jushtam, possessed of flutes, Jahi, by which, Va, or Nipitam, invited, Anurakta, loving, Kataaksha, glances, Moksham, giving off. Translation and purport, in this case by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. The cowherd girl said, O friends, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda are certainly fortunate. As these two sons enter the forest surrounded by their friends, driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouth and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. Purport. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 4.155. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented as follows, quote, the gopis meant to say, O friends, if you simply remain in the shackles of family life in this material world, while you will ever get to see. The Creator has granted us these eyes, so let us see the most wonderful thing that is to see, Krishna. End of quote. The gopis were aware that the mothers or other elders, persons, may hear their romantic words and disapprove. And thus they say, Akshavatam Phalam. Quote, to see Krishna is the goal for all persons and not simply ourselves. End of quote. In other words, the gopis indicated that since Krishna is the supreme object of love for everyone, why couldn't they also love him in a spiritual ecstasy? According to the acharyas, the different gopis spoke this and each of the following verses through text 19. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shrimate Rupa Swami Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyadi Shatari Vancha kalpa tarubhyasya kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So, I was obliged by the request of His Grace Jamasthami Prabhu to say today I give a class. I was hoping to hear from him. I can actually get tired of hearing from Jamasthami Prabhu. But he ordered, so I have to oblige. Yesterday he was telling me that I will be completely ecstatic. That is amazing, these whole beautiful descriptions. And indeed, I'm going to spend some time in this class reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is, these amazing descriptions of Lord Chaitanya entering into the mood of Shrimati Radharani and the gopis of Vrindavan, and they started to connect and describe the glories of Krishna's beauty and specifically of Krishna's flute. So the glories of Krishna's flutes is the subject of this chapter. And of course, you can understand the exalted and powerful, wonderful position of Krishna's flute. Just that the Srimad Bhagavatam dedicate a whole chapter glorifying this flute. So we find out yesterday we hear. Well, first of all, this verse starts the gopis' glorification, the narration by Srila Sikadeva Goswami of the gopis' glorification of Krishna's flute. So Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that actually once they hear Krishna's flute, so they just heard Krishna's flute. Krishna is going towards the forest. The description is they're visualizing the scene. Every day, Krishna takes the path towards the forest of Vrindavan. And the scene is that he follows, is Krishna and Balaram, and he follows Balaram. That's what the acharyas in their translation there start to break down this verse. So these were Sakya Pasun Anubi Besha Yator Vajasai. So Anubibe Vasayator, that he's entering this forest along with his friends and Lord Balaram. But he's following Lord Balaram. He's behind Lord Balaram. Balaram is the elder is the older brother of Krishna. So Krishna has always followed Balaram. And while he's following Balaram, he's playing his flute. In this case, the flute that he's playing is the Venu. Yesterday we heard that Krishna has different flutes. And he plays his flutes in different situations for particular purposes. And he has many, many different melodies that he also plays for particular purposes. And in this case, we hear that he's actually playing the Venu. Bhaktram Brajesha Sutayor Anabenu Justan, Anabenu Justan. So he's holding the Venu. The Venu is the small flute. So I want you to. So the gopis see Krishna following Balaram, playing the Venu, the little flute, and along with all his friends that are of the same age, and the cows. And he's marching towards, and they hearing. While they hear the flute. And they start to describe the effect that the flute has on themselves, which basically yesterday we heard very nicely in the class, that it arises their the full manifestation of prema, of divine love that they have for Krishna, this conjugal love that they have for Krishna. And they are very shy too. So when they start to glorify this emotion, when they start to actually express the emotions of love towards Krishna, because of shyness and also the circumstances that the elders are there, and husbands and family members, they're surrounded by them, then the way they express their attraction and their devotion and their love to Krishna, they do it in such a way that indirectly is about Krishna. They can understand, but they say it in this way. So it is explained here by the acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada brings this up in the purport, that that being aware of their mothers and other elder persons may hear their romantic words and disapprove. They say, in a general way, all living entities, they are attracted to Krishna's beauty. And they don't directly say Krishna. They say the sons of Maharaj Nanda. So both Krishna and Balaram. So in general, sometimes when they are in the public or around elders, they say, they refer as Krishna Balaram. So not just Krishna, but Krishna Balaram. But actually they mean Krishna. And they also bring out that they both go out with their flutes. So they made it in such a way, because of shyness, that is more universally accepted, that the whole Vrindavan, all the people of Vrindavan, and not only the people of Vrindavan, but all the living entities, becomes completely stunned and attracted by Krishna. So what is the big thing, or what is to not to be understood of the attraction that they feel for Krishna? That is what the acharyas is telling us. So they start to glorify the potency of the flute of Krishna, the sound of Krishna, the effect that it has, not only of them, but in all living entities. So they go on and they start to sing these beautiful prayers, or this beautiful meditation. This chapter gives us entrance into this deep meditation, which is the perfection of yoga. When we enter, The yogi is searching to enter in this samadhi state, which is full absorption in the spiritual potency. And the gopis, they're to be understood, Sri Chaitanya tells us that they're the highest of all. Brajabadhu, what is it, the verse that you know, that the dancers of Vrindavan are the highest of all transcendentalists. Because the absorption, just by the hearing of the flute of Krishna, just like yesterday also, we hear the different impetus or the different things that bring out this love. So the sound of the flute is one of them. Then they become completely absorbed in thought of Krishna, in the meditation of Krishna's pastimes. And they start, among all of them, to sing these beautiful meditations. Srila Sanatana Goswami, in the Krishna Lila Stava, he makes it into a song. So he explained that they sing the glories of Krishna's flute and the influence of Krishna's flute in this beautiful poetry form. So I thought we're going to do, you know, I'm going to sing the song, the poetry song that Srila Sanatana Goswami, so we can do that in a moment. But some of the other things of the flute that it breaks down by our Vaishnava Acharyas is that, so we explain that there's these three different flutes. Specifically, the Venu is for the gopis. Yeah, it's the one that attracts the gopis. The Venu is a small one. And when Krishna plays this little flute, who have this very, very beautiful sound, it's almost like, you know, when we hear these beautiful birds, it's a beautiful sound. I have an example of one musician, Indian musician, famous. His name is Kudamalur Janardanam. He's one of the famous classical musicians in India who plays the Venu. There's difference. So there's the Venu, there's the Bansi, which is the most popular one, the Bansi flute. And there is the Murali flute, which is the longest one. So here's an example of the Venu sound. Hopefully this machine. Of course, this is a musician of this world. We can only imagine Krishna's. You get an idea. That's what They say yes. So he gives us at least a glimpse, you know, of that. Even this sound, it just immediately touches the heart in some way. So it's very beautiful. It's very beautiful sound of flute. The bansi is more deep. You know, when you hear the bansi flutes, they're more deep. This is have that, you know, very, it's a higher pitcher sound. It's a smaller flute. And also, our Vaishnava Acharyas say that they played a particular, Krishna plays a particular raga that is specifically for the gopis. And the raga is a Malabasri raga. Now, I tried to do a research yesterday on the sound of this raga, and I couldn't find it. Yeah, it's a very ancient, you know, but it's not among the known regular ragas. But I did find the ragas that are played during the Sharad season, which is this. This is the season that we're hearing now, the fall, the autumn season. And there is two ragas that they're playing. One is the Gauri, and one is the Vaibhari. Vaibhari, I think. Vairavi raga. So there are some Hare Krishna melodies that we hear in the Vairavi raga. For example, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like that. So it has this minor quality. So there's major scale, there's main minor scale. So you have this minor quality that is very internal. You know, it's sort of the major the ragas that have this major scales are more active or happy like that. These other ones are more, the minors are more mysterious, and you know, that type of thing, they have that effect. So Srila Sanatana Goswami, oh, I tell something else that I found yesterday reading, in terms of the power that Krishna's flute has, well, and the different things that Krishna does with the flute. So there's another unique feature of what Krishna does with the flute. They have different melodies that he plays for different purposes. The acharyas describe of 8 principal melodies that are directed at a particular purpose. So he say the first melody, or the first tune, he does this to mesmerize the demigods. So he say demigods are Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. This is from the Radha Krishna Gunadesh Deepika, a quote from that. So he says that the first tune, demigods are Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva's meditation is broken, and they forget everything in astonishment. And Lord Anantadev sways his head like in hypnosis. The second tune makes the Yamuna flow backwards. The third tune makes the moon stop moving. The fourth tune makes the cows run to Krishna and get stunned listening to the flute. The feet know that tracks the gopis and make them come running to him. The sixth dune makes the stones melt and creates autumn season. The seventh note manifests all seasons. And the eighth note is meant exclusively for Srimati Radharani. It takes her name and call for her, and she comes running to him, putting her clothes, run, and mascara also. And then there was one lecture that His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj was giving in Mayapur, talking about this subject matter of Krishna's flute. And he was saying something very interesting, that Krishna has this particular potency that he can actually be directing the sound of his flute to an exclusive, in an exclusive direction. Meaning that when he plays the flute for the gopis, only the gopis can hear the flute. So therefore, when he was playing the flute, calling for the gopis at night, the family members didn't hear it. The gopis heard it and they just run. And the family members were bewildered. What's going on in here? What's happening to this woman? They're going crazy or what? They just run out and left whatever they were doing. They left and they just started to run into the forest. And they didn't understand why. They didn't hear the flute, but the gopis heard the flute. Similarly, Krishna does the same thing with the cows. So he will climb a kadamba tree, and then for the kadamba tree, he plays his flute and call for each of the 900,000, you know, cows, and call each one individually, and he have a particular melody that he plays, calling for the name or call the names of the cows, and only that particular cow will hear, and then the cow will be very ecstatic to hear his name or her name being called by Krishna's flute, and then will be running towards Krishna, and he will do that with each cow. So he have that potency. So Krishna's flute has this great exalted position in relationship with Krishna, and does Krishna have these names in relationship with the flute? So we know when he plays the Venu, he's known as Venu Gopal. He is Bansidhari, the holder of the Bansi flute. Or he's also known as Bansilal. He's known as Murali Krishna. Krishna who holds a Murali, or Muralidhar, like that. Solely based on his relationship with the flute. So, I'm going to sing this song. Maybe we do it with the melody of the flute thing and see if I can pull it out. Oh, this is Srila Sanatana Goswami. He explains that it's the same verses that we're going to hear from now till the end of the chapter, but Srila Sanatana Goswami put it in this poetic manner, explaining that it's the gopis, as they're together, yesterday we heard, that they heard the flute and they all embrace each other, sharing the same sentiment of conjugal love towards Krishna. And together they're starting to glorify the flute, the sound of the flute and the influence of the flute. And Srila Sanatana Goswami say that they did it in this poetic singing. So let's see. Chakshusha Falya Sampadi Srimad Bhakta Bhavikshana Nana Malala Sadvesha Gopala Shabha Shobhana. O Krishna, the side of your beautiful lotus face is the perfection of the eyes. Splendidly decorated with many garlands, you appear very beautiful in the midst of the cowherd boys. So this is the verse that we read today. Let me do something here. Put a little accompaniment. We're doing a little musical thing. Sadati punyabhad venu pijama nadharamrita brindavanati kirti shri pradapadabja lakshanam. O Krishna, the pious flute continuously drink the nectar of your lips, and Vrindavan has become glorious because it bears the marking of your beautiful lotus feet. Apurva Murali Gita Nadanartita Bharhina Shakoti Kirnasakauka Sarva Prani Manohara. O Lord Krishna, when you play your unprecedented music on your flute, all living entities become enchanted. The picos dance and the branches of the tree become filled with birds who pause to listen. Vismari Trinagrasha Magrikula Bilobita Shushila Rupa Sangita Devigana Bimohana. O Krishna, when the astonished deer where the astonished deer hear the super excellent sound of your flute, they give up eating grass and become allure. When the demigoddesses hear the sound, they become enchanted. Gadarodita Gobrinda Premokarnita Tarnaka Nirvyapari Kratesha Munitulya Bihangama. When the cows hear the sound of your flute, they cry intently. Full of love, the calf listened with upturned ears, and the birds become inactive and appear just like silent sages. Gita Shtava Sadid Pura Chetrajita Balahaka Pulindi Premakrit Gasa Lagnapadabja Kunkuma. O Lord Krishna, by hearing the sound of your flute, the Yamuna river becomes stunned and stops flowing. The clouds come overhead. The clouds came overhead and became like an umbrella to shade you from the scorching sunshine. And the aboriginal girls became immersed in pure love for you when they touched the kumkuma powder that had fallen on the grass from your lotus feet. हरि सेवा का भार्या त्वा शंपा गौर बाधानार्चिता स्वप्रेमा परमानंदा चित्रजीता चरा चरा। ओ लॉर्ड कृष्णा, Govardhan Hill is worshipped because it is enriched with the devotional activities of Lord Hari's servants. Abounding with pure love for you, the moving and the non-moving living entities of Praj has become amazed and filled with spiritual bliss. Raghapala Bhitastano Gita namita padapa Gopala vilashad besha Gopimara vibhardhana. O Lord Krishna, the non-moving plants of Braja sprouted forth blossoms as a symptom of their ecstatic love for you. And the trees bowed down to you as it offered respects, appearing as a splendid cowherd boy. You increase the amorous desires of the gopis. The last one. Ashesha jangamashtanu shwabhava paribhartaka Adhrikrita shila kashta nirjivo jivanana. O Lord Krishna, you reverse the natures of the non-moving and moving entities, bringing inanimate objects to life and making inanimate stones and wood moisten with love for you. O Lord, please protect us. Beautiful prayers of the gopis. And that's what we're going to hear throughout the chapter. It's now 8:22. So I'm going to have time. There's two parts in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in which I wanted to touch on that, in which Lord Chaitanya relish in the mood of the gopis the glories of Krishna's flute. And the first part appears, or the first long narration appears in the Madhya Lila during Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meeting with Sanatana Goswami. So he actually revealed to Sanatana Goswami this very intimate, his intimate ecstasies as in the mood of the gopis, in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And at one point, when he came out of back into external consciousness, he entered into this internal ecstasy, and he just spoke in the mood of Srimati Radharani to Sanatana Goswami. And when he came back to his external energies, realizing what he did, he was a little embarrassed, Lord Chaitanya. And he expressed to Sanatana Goswami, "Oh, I was speaking like a madman, so please forgive." You know, he shouldn't do this, you know, in especially externally with other people around, or something that gets external, you know, is something very intimate of Lord Chaitanya. But he couldn't help himself because he entered into this ecstasy. And it happens when he was speaking about Krishna's beauty. So he started to speak about Krishna's creation and, you know, and Krishna's potencies. And as he goes on and speaking on Krishna's potency, he starts to get into this ecstasy and start to speak about Krishna's beauty. And as he speaks Krishna's beauty, is Krishna's flute, and all, he just get into this complete ecstasy in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So this is how this narration goes. It's very beautiful. The other one, I don't think we will have time to do because these are long and it's just nice to get the whole flavor of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But in the Antya Lila, he goes into this very intimate conversation with Ramananda Roy and about tasting the lips of Krishna. And this also came from Lord Chaitanya becoming ecstatic on tasting Krishna, Lord Jagannath's prasadam. And when he tastes Lord Jagannath's prasadam, he's like, well, it's, you know, this prasadam, it has been touched by the lips of Krishna. And then from there, it took off into, you know, the flute and the mood that the gopis have, that they actually envy the flute. And they were a little cross with the flute because the flute, you know, basically capitalized tasting the lips of Krishna's, the nectar of Krishna's lips, which is their, it belongs to them, is their right for, you know, sort of ownership, you know, they gopis things like that. So they like a little cross with the flute, criticizing the flute in some way, and then also expressing, you know, what this flute is, you know, is so fortunate. So that one I can encourage you to read, you know, in the Antya Lila. It's very intimate. But you know, Srila Prabhupada provided for us, and you know, being held by Srila Prabhupada in his transcendental hand, he takes us into this very intimate pastimes of Krishna. So here's Lord Chaitanya and Srila Sanatana Goswami. This is the Madhya Lila, chapter 21, the opulence and sweetness of Lord Sri Krishna. We're starting this particular reading from verse 113. The bodily beauty of Sri Krishna is like a wave in the ocean of eternal youth. In that great ocean, the whirlpool of the awakening of ecstatic love, the vibration of Krishna's flute is like a whirlwind, and the flickering minds of the gopis are like the straw and dry leaves. After they fall down into the whirlwind, they never rise again but remain eternally at the lotus feet of Krishna. Oh, my dear friend, what severe austerities have the gopi performed to drink his transcendental beauty and sweetness through their eyes in complete fulfillment. Thus they glorify their births, bodies, and mind. The sweetness of Krishna's beauty enjoyed by the gopis is unparalleled. Nothing is equal to or greater than such ecstatic sweetness. Even the predominant deities of the Vaikuntha planets, the Narayanas, do not possess such sweetness. Indeed, none of the incarnations of Krishna up to the Narayan possesses such transcendental beauty. The vivid evidence in this regard is that the dearest consort of Narayan, the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by all chaste women, gave up everything in her desire to enjoy Krishna, being captivated by his unparalleled sweetness. Thus, she took a great vow and underwent severe austerities. The quintessence of Krishna's sweet bodily luster is so perfect that there is no perfection above it. He is the immutable mind of all transcendental qualities. In his other manifestation and personal expansions, there is only a partial exhibition of such qualities. We understand all his personal expansions in this way. Both the gopis and Krishnas are complete. The gopis' ecstatic love is like a mirror that becomes newer and newer at every moment and reflects reflects Krishna's bodily luster and sweetness. Thus, competition increases, since neither give up, their pastimes become newer and newer, and both sides constantly increase. The transcendental mellows generated from the dealings between the gopis and Krishna cannot be tasted by means of fruitive activities, yogic austerities, speculative knowledge, regulated devotional service, mantra yoga, or meditation. This sweetness can be tasted only through the spontaneous love of liberated persons who chant the holy names with great ecstatic love. Such ecstatic transaction between Krishna and the gopis are possible only in Vrindavan, which is full of the opulence of transcendental love. The form of Krishna is the original source of all transcendental qualities. It is like a mine of gems, the opulence belonging to all the personal expansions of Krishna's art to be understood, to be bestowed by Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the original source and shelter of everyone. Beauty, humility, mercy, merit, patience, and expert intelligence are all manifested in Krishna. But besides this, Krishna has other qualities like good behavior, mildness, and magnanimity. He also performs welfare activities for the whole world. All these qualities are not visible in expansions like Narayana. After seeing Krishna, various people criticize the blinking of their eyes. In Vrindavan especially, all the gopis criticize Lord Brahma because of this defect in the eyes. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited some verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam and explained them vividly, thus enjoying the taste of transcendental sweetness with great happiness. Quote, all men and women were accustomed to enjoying the beauty of the shining face of Lord Krishna, as well as his shark-shaped earrings swinging in his ears, on his ears. His beautiful features, his cheeks, his playful smiles, all combined to a form of constant festival for the eyes, and the blinking of the eyes became obstacles that impede one from seeing that beauty. For this reason, men and women became very angry at the Creator, Lord Brahma. O Krishna, when you go to the forest during the day, we do not see your sweet face, which is surrounded by beautiful curly hair. Half a second becomes as long as entire age for us. We consider the Creator who has put eyelids on our eyes, on the eyes we use for seeing you, to be simply a fool. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is identical with the Vedic hymn known as the Kama Gayatri, which is composed of 24 and a half syllables. Those syllables are compared to the moons that arise in Krishna. Thus all the three worlds are filled with desire. The face of Krishna is the king of all moons, and the body of Krishna is the throne. Thus, the king governs a society of moons. Krishna has two cheeks that shine like glowing gems. Both are considered full moons. His forehead is considered half moon. And the spot of sandalwood there is considered a full moon. His fingernails are full moons, and they dance on the flute in his hands. Their song is the melody of that flute. His toenails are also full moons, and they dance on the ground. Their song is the jingling of his ankle bells. Krishna's face is the enjoyer king. That full moon face makes his shark-shaped earrings and lotus eyes dance. His eyebrows are like bows, and his eyes are like arrows. His ears are fixed on the string of that bow, And when his eyes spread to his ears, he pierced the hearts of the gopis. The dancing features of his face surpass all other full moons and expands the marketplace of full moons. Although priceless, the nectar of Krishna's face is distributed to everyone. Some purchase the moon rays of his sweet smiles, and others purchase the nectar of his lips. Thus he pleases everyone. Krishna has two reddish, widely spread eyes. These are ministers of the king, and they subdue the pride of Cupid, who also has beautiful eyes. That face of Govinda, which is full of happiness, is the home of the pastimes of beauty, and is very pleasing to everyone's eyes. It's late. Should I continue? Let me see how much we have. Yeah, it's not much. Okay, it's almost finished. If by devotional service one gets the resolve of pious activities and see Lord Krishna's face, what can he relish with only two eyes? His greed and thirst increase twofold by seeing the nectarian face of Krishna. Due to his inability to sufficiently drink that nectar, he becomes very unhappy and criticizes the Creator for not having given more than two eyes. When the unlocker of Krishna's face becomes dissatisfied in this way, he thinks, why didn't the Creator give me thousands and millions of eyes? Why has he given me only two? Even these two eyes are disturbed by blinking, which keeps me from continuously seeing Krishna's face. Thus one accuses the Creator of being dried and tasteless due to engaging in severe austerities. The Creator is only a dry manufacturer. He does not know how to create and set things in their proper places. The Creator says, let those who will see Krishna's beautiful face have two eyes. Just see the lack of consideration exhibited by this person possessing as a creator. If the Creator took my advice, he will give millions of eyes to the person who intends to see Sri Krishna's face. If the Creator will accept this advice, then I will say he is competent in his work. The transcendental form of Lord Krishna is compared to an ocean, and particularly extraordinary vision is the moon above the ocean, Sri Krishna's face. An even more extraordinary vision is his smile, which is sweeter than sweet, and is like shining beams of moonlight. While speaking in this way with Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to remember one thing after another. Moving his hands in ecstasy, he recites a verse. Oh my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet, and his face is even sweeter than his body. But his soft smile, which is the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. My dear Sanatana, the sweetness of Krishna's personality is just like the ocean of ambrosia. Although my mind is now afflicted by convulsive disease, I wish to drink the entire ocean. The repressive physician does not allow me to drink even one drop. And this all is going to lead to how all this beauty becomes a repose in the sound of Krishna's flute. And that's also, you know, the gopis are able to drink that sweet through the sound. or to take that sweetness from, you know, through the sound. Krishna's body, see if I can skip some. It's very beautiful. His light smiling and fragrant illumination is compared to camphor, which enters the sweetness of his lips. That sweetness is transformed and enters into a space as vibration from the holes of his flute. The sounds of Krishna's flute spread in the four directions. Even though Krishna vibrates his flutes within this universe, his sounds pierces the universal covering and goes to the spiritual sky. Thus, the vibration enters the ears of all inhabitants. He especially enters Goloka Vrindavan Dham and attracts the minds of the young damsels of Brajabhumi, bring them forcibly to where Krishna is present. The vibration of Krishna's flute is very aggressive, and he breaks the vows of all chaste women. Indeed, his vibration takes them forcibly from the lap of their husbands. The vibration of his flute attracts even the goddess of fortune in the Vaikuntha planets, to say nothing of the poor damsels of Vrindavan. The vibration of his flute slackens the knot of their underwear, even in front of their husbands. Thus the gopis are forced to abandon their household duties and come before Lord Krishna. In this way, all social etiquette, shame, and fear are vanquished. The vibration of his flute causes all women to dance. The vibration of his flute is just like a bird that creates a nest within the ears of the gopis and always remains prominent there, not allowing any other sound to enter their ears. Indeed, the gopis cannot hear anything else, nor are they able to concentrate on anything else, nor even to give a suitable reply. Such are the effects of the vibration of Krishna's flute. And then, resuming his external consciousness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, "I have not spoken of what I intended. Lord Krishna is very merciful to you. By bewildering my mind, he has revealed his personal opulences and sweetness. He has caused you to hear all these things from me for your understanding. Since I have become a madman, I'm saying one thing instead of another. This is because I'm being carried away by the waves of the nectarian ocean of Lord Krishna's transcendental sweetness." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then remained silent for a moment, and finally, adjusting things within his mind, he again spoke to Sanatana Goswami. "If anyone gets the opportunity to hear about the sweetness of Krishna in this chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he will certainly be eligible to float in the transcendentally blissful ocean of love of Godhead." Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Krishna ki jai. Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Thank you. Yes, we way past, but you know, we take a couple. Yes.
There was this point about how Krishna directed his flute playing so that only specific cows could hear.
Yeah.
So I think did it go beyond that so specific gopis could hear?
Yes. Well, there's the one that is just exclusive for Srimati Radharani, the eighth tune, as it's playing like that.
So in the mode of philosophical speculation, not mental speculation, but trying to understand this in application to ourselves, one would conjecture that that at a certain stage, Krishna will direct, will be playing his flute in such a way that we can hear it. Right?
Yeah, the capacity is there. Krishna's soul desire, yes.
Yeah. I mean, Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. So all of these pastimes are described so that we understand what's up ahead. And we take our Abhideya seriously, and then knowing that this will awaken within ourselves at some point, right?
Yeah, it just came to mind, you know, Lord Brahma's meditation, and Lord Brahma heard the flute, and then from that flute, then everything, from that sound, everything opens. In fact, you know, the vision that he have of Krishna, Venum, Gananta, Naravinda, Dalayati, you know, Krishna playing in his Venu flute, attracting the heart of the gopis.
It's quite a leap from, you know, the philosophy that guides us in Abhideya to the presentations that come in Prayojana. Mm. You know, to have that kind of capacity to like focus on the Prayojana, it's not such an easy thing, you know, for us on this level.
Can you explain that?
Well, to understand we're not our bodies, that's not so hard. you know, that our bodies are changing. To cry to Krishna to engage us in our service, also it's not so hard, but to fathom the intricacies of the exchanges that take place between the gopis and Krishna's, you know, it's on a whole other level of conceptualization,
beyond our experience, and
so, but our capacity to get there is, to a large extent, is based upon our faith. You know, the faith in Prabhupada and faith in Lord Chaitanya. You know, their presentations. But it's quite a leap. You know, for us to get to that. And I think a lot of devotees, you know, they just, okay. But they don't think about it so much. They don't think about it in terms of themselves. You know, I think that may be a tendency that would be there, you know, on the sadhana platform. Mm. But that's the whole idea. You know, as we progress, this is why it's presented, so that we've got the prayojana. You know, we've got the goal in mind, in sight. Mm. And we're working towards that.
Yeah, I think the example of our disciplic succession, you know, in Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, is that it's something very personal. And you know, they naturally come to that position. I mean, we know this whole... how you say the controversy of you know, Raganuga Bhakti, and that we're meant to move toward the Raganuga Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, and get into all the different Siddha Pranali and all that stuff. And Srila Prabhupada didn't give us that. Srila Prabhupada basically, Srila Prabhupada give us that within the full absorption in the Sankirtan mission. So, you know, continue just his example, which is, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's example, to the end, always, you know, being out preaching, or, you know, bringing the Sankirtan mission to the world, rather than to go into the personal absorption and meditation, you know, the Vajjananandi part. So so it becomes something for, in our line, Prabhupanugas, the way at least, you know, I hear it to be understood, is something very personal. You know, the devotee continue the example of Srila Prabhupada, then these realizations Krishna as he you know, desire, he start to reveal these things to the devotee. You know, you don't necessarily we're not necessarily need, although it's there in our tradition, to you know, go into seclusion and simply abandon everything and absorb ourselves in, you know, Babaji and that type of thing. You know? So it's quite something.
If one is a preacher, it doesn't necessarily preclude him from internally practicing Raghunatha Bhakti.
Correct.
It's just the whole false kind of show battle, Babaji program, you know, like which is commonplace in Radhakund and, you know, among some of the the factionalization, you know, that took place within ISKCON, you know, going towards the Gaudiya Mass. But that the preacher has some actually increased qualification for the more he preaches, the more he pleases Krishna, and the more Krishna reveals and empowers an understanding, you know, of his eternal relationship, you know, with Krishna, and empowers the loba, you know, to actually, you know, in a devotionally motivated way, practice Raghunatha Bhakti. That's what I understand. You know, it's like Prabhupada, he didn't publicly speak about it, but it, he does bring it up. You know, and it's in the Nectar of Devotion, and you know, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But it's not something that should be done artificially. That was That's a big precaution.
Yes.
And this is what, there's a strong tendency to do that. Stay with it, and then there will be a point in our devotional lives where that loba will awaken.
And even, just like we were discussing the other day, even if you come to the end of your life, you know, and you're far from getting there, if you have dedicated yourself to the Sankirtan mission and the service of, you know, your spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada, if you go to that point at the end of your life, Krishna, you know, will... if he so desire, if he see that you if it, you know, is that type of reciprocation, he can make you at that moment, you know, whatever you lack, he will give. He makes that promise. So so that situation is there, even if.
So it may even be at the tail end that we're Raghunatha Bhaktas.
Yes.
Anyway, we just got to keep going.
Yes. I'm going to stop here. I know, you know, it's 8:54, so sorry went long. I hope it was all right with all of you. Thank you. Garantarashiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.